You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Up, Bison fans, and welcome back to the Bison Report Radio podcast, brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum. Joining me today in studio, Blake the intern. Blake, how are you?
Good, man. We're back.
We are back.
We're doing great.
Let's dive right into the news. No, okay. I thought I had a news sounder. What are you going to do, you know? Anyway, we're back at the actual studio with the board, and I thought we had the breaking news sounder, but that must be on the older board, which is fine. Anyway, getting back right into the Bison Report Radio podcast, the NCAA officially adopts a 15-day portal January 2nd through the 16th. That's interesting. When's the national championship game? About the 6th?
The 6th, that Monday.
How about that?
Interesting. Right in the middle.
Yeah, so, the Bison probably, going to get off that plane on the 6th or the 7th, and, you know, God willing, and the creek don't rise, that they're actually down in Nashville playing in that game. Whichever FCS team is playing in that game, I think is going to be a big deal. But, you know, I mean, this last go-around, you'd have had Marty Brown and Cody Heisman locked in, right? Or maybe not, but I mean, the second portal doesn't open anymore, and that's the point.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Because they made it through the first portal.
Yeah, that was April.
Everybody decided to stay in the boat, and then two guys got, I think, some high majors looked at their roster and looked at their resources and went, and then that's where that happens.
Yeah. This is interesting for the FBS a little bit, because I don't know when that national championship game is, but it is certainly later than the 16th.
Yeah.
Now, does that actually mean anything now that I say it? No, but it's still interesting. I for one am glad no more spring portal. And I think coaches, and especially and the FCS, rejoice.
Yes, for sure. Because like I said, it gives these other teams time to look at their roster, figure out what they need, and start back-channeling offers to Marty Browns, back-channeling offers to Cody Heismans, and figuring those kinds of things out. And it's not that I don't want opportunities for those kids, especially financial opportunities, but it's just like the you got to kind of swing the balance back towards the teams again. I think swing the balance back towards commitment. And yes, there's a portal. If you want to leave, there is a portal. And this is when it's open for 15 days. Hop in. And once you hop in, a lot of schools will let you return. I don't know if NDSU probably doesn't have that policy, but you then have the opportunity to make your choice. And you can make your choice up till a week before fall camp or even later if you really want to. But that's more the deal. Men's hoops. The Bison men's hoops picked 4th in the Summit League preseason poll. I think that's just basically based on respect for Dave because who the hell knows, right? Like, I think it's hard to gauge other than St. Thomas did bring back a lot. And so they're picked first. They all unofficially opened the season. The next exhibition game at Minnesota, not projected to be particularly good in the first year of Nico Medved. They picked 16th of the 18 Big Ten teams, because why wouldn't there be 18 teams in the Big Ten? This is the first year that you're allowed to play D1 versus D1 in exhibition, and also it's just the end of the secret scrimmages. Because halftime, the secret scrimmage, and like depending on whose secret scrimmage it was, you could like find a box score.
Right.
And then, you know, it'd be like, oh, dude, Kentucky got ran by North Carolina in a secret scrimmage. And then, excuse me, and then you'd get, you know, oh, no, Kentucky won by like 15. Or, like, you know what I mean? And you go on and on. Or, how, you know, how'd the NDSU versus Northern Iowa secret scrimmage go? Fine. And you never get like a straight answer from anybody. So now everything's sort of out in the open. And NDSU will play two exhibition games, both against MSUM and Minnesota. You mentioned the talks of expanding the tournament to 76 teams. It's terrible. And not only is it terrible, the like format is terrible.
I haven't even looked at that. What? Like
they're just talking about taking all the automatic qualifiers and sticking them down at the bottom and make them fight it out.
And
it's terrible.
And letting the 9 and 14
yes.
Big 10
correct.
Sneak in, just you get to play in round one.
Right.
That's great.
It's awful. There's another destination game scheduled, the Fighting Matt Larsons at Stony Brook. And also the Fighting Sam Niedermans at Stony Brook, but that game will be on Long Island. So in 2028, if you're into, and again, they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job because, you know, the Gophers aren't picking up the phone when they see the Fargo area code.
And they won't.
that 231 area code's not getting picked up. Iowa State's not picking up the phone. Iowa's not picking up the phone. Kansas and Kansas State, not picking up the phone. It's just not going to happen. So, you're stuck. And how do you get unstuck? Well, destination games, Nashville, South Carolina, now Vegas, and now New York. I can't think of a more fish out of water situation than like 20,000 Bison fans trying to make their way through New York. But I'm excited to get that. That's one that I'm going to try to get to.
Oh yeah. I've never been to New York either, and we'll see where that goes. But, I feel like a lot of eye rolls with Bison fans walking
both ways.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much time New Yorkers are going to have for us. And I don't know how much Fargoans are going to love like walking everywhere. And,
yeah. Right.
Public transit and the streets being as wide as this office. Like, right. I'm very, very excited for a lot of those dynamics. Like Nashville is a Bison fan town. Dallas is a Bison fan town. Las Vegas is a Bison fan town. I don't know about New York. I think it's very fun and very exciting, and I'm excited to see it all. But man, I'm thinking of some of the tailgating groups that I know and like just sticking those people in like Manhattan, and I don't even know what I would do. I don't, it's something, but boy, that'll be fun. Brief Illinois State recap, bend but don't break from the defense. They allowed 328 yards, which is two touchdowns. Third down, they were good. Only held the ball for 9.5 minutes on the first half. That was odd. Kind of having Bison football done to them from a possession standpoint and from a choke you out standpoint. The offense didn't punt, which is pretty incredible. Breca Panu, 116 yards on the ground, including a big touchdown in the second quarter. Cole Payton was Cole Payton, extremely efficient through the air, had the highlight reel hurtling touchdown. He's going to give coach a stroke, but it is what it is. Right now, the Bison have the top scoring D in the FCS, the top pass defense in the FCS, and are sixth in scoring offense. That is a recipe for success when you're 33 points on the road against a top six opponent significantly decreases your scoring average. That certainly is impressive. On to Southern Illinois. The Salukis have never won in Fargo. They are 0-7, and those games have not been particularly close. It's funny. talking about the COVID loss in Carbondale, because you view, because of the COVID loss, you view SIU as this like foil, or you view SS. I mean, people do think of SIU as like, oh, revenge, or at least, you know, 2 years ago, that's how it was. And you do think about that game still. And then, as you've written here, the only loss to SIU in the last 15 years was the COVID blowout loss in Carbondale. That is crazy.
It is crazy. But when you get just baptized like that, it's kind of like, oh,
you know. Yeah, it was a wake-up call.
It was a wake-up call. I remember, and that was like a late February. You know, it was a weird deal. But like, I remember just still, nonetheless, just sitting there going, just watching the game on TV going, what in the, and if it weren't for a Hail Mary at the end of the first half, I don't know if people even remember that. Zebda, I don't even know who it was. Was it like Jake Lippy or Cole J? I don't even know who it was who caught it, but it would have been worse. I mean,
yeah,
it was that bad. So it's understandable just from an NDSU, you know, insatiable perspective of doing that. But they're still today, 17.5-point favorites right now. I think that's probably fair. You know, Southern Illinois has got a big offense, right? I mean, 43.4 points per game. And frankly, even in the last three games, it's even higher than that when they're just against FCS opponents in UT Martin, SEMO, and Indiana State. So not the cream of the crop by any means, but, you know, nonetheless. So, yeah, I think I know what to expect, but I also don't, because both sides may have a little chip on their shoulder for very different reasons, or feel that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. NDSU 17.5-point favorites as of early Friday afternoon. This was the last game, was 33-16.
So yes.
You're basically saying it'll be the same as the Illinois State game, or that's where kind of the line is. And the Illinois State game was NDSU's closest challenge by far.
Oh,
thus far.
Yeah.
You know, from a margin of victory standpoint. So that part of it's definitely interesting. The Salukis do have the number 7 scoring offense in the FCS at 43.4 points per game. And they are undefeated in the FCS. They only lost to Purdue. Were able to score 17 points against Purdue. They do have a D2 win. They have beaten UT Martin, SEMO, and Indiana State on the FCS side. But they did allow 322 rushing yards to a Sycamores team that is not very good last week.
Yeah, that's a little, grit your teeth a little, or you know.
It's problematic.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I don't know, maybe I haven't looked at Indiana State at all, so I don't know, maybe they have a dude, but I doubt it, as far as
it
somebody.
It has not gone well. No. In Indiana State of late.
So, that's a little interesting. I don't know what their season averages are, you know, as far as what they're giving up per game.
Yeah.
But I would imagine if you're giving up 300 to that team, it's probably not anywhere under 160 for the year. So maybe that's an area where Barica can shine again, potentially.
Yeah. It'll be very interesting to see when NDSU has the ball and how many stops SIU is able to get. When SIU has the ball, though, DJ Williams, you know, I think right now you've got 4 fan bases, though I don't know about SDSU after the Youngstown State game, but you got 4 fan bases kind of banging the table and suggesting that, you know, their guy should be Walter Payton Award winner. NDSU fans loud and proud for Cole Payton. South Dakota State fans have been making statistical comparisons with Payton for Chase Mason. Folks have been talking about, you know, lightly speaking about Jerry Kaminsky at UND. I don't know the odds of that one. UND already, it's not a team thing, right? But I mean, he has kind of like old Easton Stick numbers. Like, his numbers are efficient, but they're not eye popping. They lose to Kansas State. They've already lost out in Montana. I don't see that happening. I don't see the voters going that way. It's not that Jerry's not a good player. I just don't see the voters going that way. But DJ Williams is a first-team All-MVFC candidate, or certainly an All-League candidate. And right now, with the state of FCS football, that makes you a Walter Payton Award-winner candidate, is being the all-first-team MVFC. And I mean, he's not mine, but that doesn't mean that it's not a part of the conversation. 67% completions, 1,200 yards thus far, 11 touchdowns to 2 picks, and he is averaging 7.7 yards per carry on the ground, 356 yards. It's interesting. This is a good stat that you found. DJ Williams has the third most yards for designed runs, and so 344 of his 356 rushing yards are on, yes?
Well, so that is excluding sacks. So it's like 400 some in total.
Oh, okay.
But nonetheless.
Okay. Right. NFL versus college scorekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I got it. But then Cole Payton has a ton of scramble yards at 218. So two different ways kind of to get it done. Williams is a veteran. He was at Murray State, played in the Dome in 2023, went bad, but it. Everyone, I mean, that was a Murray State thing, not necessarily a DJ Williams thing. And last year, he got hurt, and SIU was way, way down the quarterback depth chart.
Oh, yeah, didn't they have to pull like a grad assistant or something?
Zeb Noland.
Yeah, there were people writing about that. Like,
sure.
Yeah, they were at third string in the NDSU game, and I think they got down to their fourth later on. It was just it's a whole different team this year. I don't know. And this receiver too, Vincent Davis, third.
Yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was two or three. but I mean, he's a big play guy, but if you look at it, you think, oh, well, he can stretch the field and he's running these deep posts, and no, he isn't. He's a slot guy. Like 98 of his pass snaps are out of the slot. That's like 90%. I wrote third, but it's the second in the FCS in yak. 300 yards a yak. And I mean, like eight yards average depth of target. Okay, so like teams are not bringing him to the ground, really. I mean, that's the other thing for me is tackling this week. I just think they're getting a lot of that stuff that way. I mean, throwing it short, 10 yards and under, manufacture yards with your legs, force them to beat you, if you know what I mean, as far as bringing you down. But, you know, we all remember the years NDSU was, and this was not long ago, NDSU struggled to tackle. That has not, to me, that has not been the case this year. So I think they'll handle that better. I don't think I'm alone on that. But again, you got to go out and do it each week.
Yeah, 18 yards to carry out of the slot is crazy. And he's big-time yak guy. And that whole thing is interesting to me because, you know, the Bison have such good depth right now at corner. You've got Jaquise, you've got Tony, you have obviously Duffy, and then they like Booth. They like the JMU kid as well, which is to say nothing of Najee Nelson and – I mean, they have depth at the cornerback position. So me, being a modern football guy, wondering, are you going to play some sub? Because with Enoch Sibomana last year and now obviously Donovan Woolen, they're not playing a ton of sub. They have it. It exists, right? And it's still, I think, more three safety than it is three corner. But how many times do you line up Donovan Woolen against a slot receiver averaging 18 yards a catch? I am interested in that. Now, of course, he's got safety help. If the Bison can play their two high looks, their cover two, their cover four, that kind of stuff where they get to keep two high safeties, well, then Woolen's protected over the top. Like that, you can get away with that, and you can use his length. You can use his quick-twitch athletic ability. You can do all those things. but in a situation where you'd be carrying Vincent Davis on a slot fade in a coverage where you'd be responsible for him all the way down the field, is that a position that you want to put Donovan Woolen in? That is interesting to me.
Yeah, is there has it been Talen Edie is kind of the other guy, I think.
Yeah, and Ryan Jones, you know, because Crumbie and Givens play a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Crumbie played quite a bit of slot corner last year.
Sure.
Yep. But they're not in sub. Like, I'd have to go and look. I'd have to dive into the film and try and figure out exactly where guys are lining up. But it's been a lot of Woolen. A lot. Like, it's been a lot of Woolen and Staling and Kopp. They don't like to take their front seven off the field, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and they even snaps last year when Oscar Benson was on the field, I feel like there were times where he was in coverage, you know, like on the hash with whoever was in there. So I see what you're saying. And obviously, Donovan Woolen is a little bit more of a matchup plus. That's probably not a great word, but I think, you know, like, he matches up better with receivers as far as his length and, you know, the whole... I don't know what, if that will change.
It's just a nerdy thing to watch. It's just a nerdy thing to watch for me.
Sure. I agree with that, but you know, and I obviously don't like I was saying someone earlier, like, I'm not going to pretend to know everything about, you know, coverages and assignments in those coverages, but I think Donovan will handle his own. But can he?
Well, so basically, and we won't go too deep on this. In a cover one or zero, he's not going to have designated help because there'd either be no safety over the top, or there'd be
one
safety over the top. If in two or four, he's going to have either flat or hook curl coverage. Meaning there's going to be a point in that route where he just actually does give up the receiver to the safety, and it's not his responsibility anymore. Meaning he's not responsible for, like, and it's usually more of a fade than it is a streak, but he's not going to be responsible to carry a fade or a nine from the slot. Like, if Vincent Davis actually runs a go route from the slot, there aren't that many coverages that NDSU would call where it's actually Donovan Woolen's responsibility to run the whole gosh darn way down the field with him. But cover zero would be one of those. Cover one could potentially be one of those, depending on where the safety decides to take away. If it's four verts, if it's multiple deep routes, what do you do? You know, and they have matching principles and all sorts of other reasons behind the way they do what they do. But yeah.
And the quarterback's an interesting part of that too, right? Like, yes. I know Polisek said on Tuesday, he's like, I'm not sure if this is a spy guy. Well, he's not really doing much in the scramble game. So is that really someone you need to spy versus Cole Payton, where it's like, okay, there's nothing there. Cole Payton's going to run around. And all of a sudden there's a 20-yard gain. DJ Williams isn't really doing that. It's more of, you know, I don't know if it's RPO stuff or if he's just like Bo Brungard from Youngstown, if he's just taking the ball and running. I don't know how that's going to work. You know, how they pressure him, you know, because he hasn't scrambled a lot. Do they want to, they probably don't want to flush him out, you know, cause he is a little bit elusive, but, it'll be interesting to all those things, you know, the coverage stuff, the Woolen stuff, just what Geo does, I think is to keep an eye on.
Yep. Okay. Tackling big. NDSU has tackled well. They have the fourth highest PFF tackling grade at the FCS level. They are third, or excuse me, DJ Williams is large at 6'3", 220. Getting him successfully on the ground, and then they have kind of a different task with Vincent Davis. That's more breaking down and keeping your feet moving and hitting a moving target than I sure hope this guy doesn't run through my face. There's two different ways of difficulty, right, to tackle. There's trying to tackle Cam Scataboo, and then there's trying to tackle Devin Achane, right? And there is two different problems, right, that arise. McClendon has been good. The corner, he's got eight pass breakups. He's got a top six coverage grade in the FCS. He is allowing just 50% of balls completed his way, but he's only given up 65 yards. With that said, this is not a good defense. And with that said, it's prediction time.
It is. And going off that point, I just don't see, like, Illinois State, they weren't that bad defensively.
Yeah.
And if even they're holding them to 33, this defense that's given up 30 points to SEMO and whatever to Indiana State, Bison under 40, I don't see it. So I think SAU will get some, you know, just because they are a good offensive unit. So I'm gonna take 42-24.
Yeah, I've got 45-21. We're absolutely right there in the same realm for what we think SIU is going to do. I want to thank all of you for listening. I want to thank our good friends at Gateway Chevrolet for sponsoring the show. Have a great Bison football weekend.
Go Bison.